The saying goes, the more things change, the more it stays the same. And this saying has never been more appropriate than now, as the ANC is taking blow after blow as the utter greed and looting of COVID-19 aid relief funds are exposed. Associate editor of the Daily Maverick, Farrell Haffage, has written a scathing article in which she provides a chart of historical ANC scandals, which makes a mockery of the ANC's statement of their embarrassment and shame at the exposés of COVID premiers. Well, Farrell Haffage joins us now this morning on the line. Farrell, assalamu alaikum and welcome to Radio Islam International.
Wa alaikum salam. It's good to be with you. I tried to not make it scathing, but anyway.
well, it is, and I think it was a very apt approach to look at all of the relevant scandals that plagued the ANC from the time they came into power in 94, and then, you know, check how many of those perpetrators were actually brought to book.
Yes, I keep this tally going because I think it's an important one to bear in mind if we want a democratic and just country. And what I found is that through 26 years of freedom, there have been these 25 mega scandals. Now, when I've run it before, people say, of course, there's a lot more. But these are the really big ones, billions of rands stolen or wasted. And what I found when you apply the eye of justice over it is that in only one of those cases has there been what you could call substantive justice, where the former and late National Police Commissioner Jackie Selebe, along with his co-conspirator Glenn Agliotti, went to jail. Huh?
Now, the ANC normally says, you know, the law needs to take its course. We heard that line of argument repeatedly when Jacob Zuma was in power. The law needs to take its course. They kind of absolve themselves of responsibility by suggesting, well, the relevant authorities need to investigate. The law needs to take its course. It's not our fault if convictions have not been effected.
Yes, absolutely. And that was the approach the party used when it returned two of its office bearers who were highly implicated in the looting of the VBS bank. That's Florence Razilani and Daniel Caesar to their jobs. They said, well, the law is taking too long and these people need to get back into their positions. But of course, the backstory of that, as we know so painfully, is it is in fact the ANC government which shut down the scorpions, which has fired good people when they wanted to do the jobs, which has allowed truly corrupt people to take senior leadership positions in the South African Police Service, etc. So on the one hand, you're saying the law must take its course, but on the other hand, you're bastardizing the instruments of that law, the criminal justice system. And I hope that is going to change now.
Is that hope realistic, Farrell? I know the president in his online newsletter to the country came across as being very firm and intent on holding people to account. But does he have the political power currently, you know, in terms of how things are playing out within the party? Should we be more realistic and pragmatic as South Africans that little is going to change?
I think it's not great to sit in a pool of hopelessness, and it's important to keep hope alive. So what we should also look at is what has happened. So there's a new head of the NPA, there's a new head of the Special Investigating Unit, there's a new head of the Hawks. There appears to be new energy in some parts, at least, of the South African Police Service. And if you look at all the big institutions, the really rotten people have gone. Now, what's taking really long is the Zondo Commission of Inquiry into State Capture, and putting together a proper case against corruption, as we know, can take many years. I think, though, that South Africans just tipped over the edge with the COVID premiers, with the corruption of COVID-19, billions of rands basically meant to keep people alive. And so what I hope is going to happen is that we as civil society or the people will keep the pressure on in the ways that we have been doing, because ultimately I don't think you can entrust the fight against corruption to one person, as popular a leader as President Cyril Ramaphosa is, but that it depends on each of us being active.
We are seeing the current scandals relating to COVID premiers, as you mentioned, come to the fore, and it's causing a great degree of concern because, you know, people that require that material, medical material, and who require the funds, are the ones who are losing out. But this scourge of corruption existed well before COVID-19 and will exist post this pandemic. In your opinion, where does Cyril Ramaphosa and his ANC need to start? Because we know the rot goes right down to the bottom, you know, mayors, municipalities, councils.
Well, I think it starts with taking a moral stand on things. So there was this really eye-popping debate in the ANC over the weekend about whether or not the children or close relatives of senior political figures should be able to do business with the state. For me, that there was even such a debate is really suggests moral wanting in their souls, because obviously it's the wrong thing to do. They're an elite and you should allow other people to have opportunities, especially because maybe 3 million people have lost either their jobs or their livelihoods. So open it up to others. And the president said as much in his letter. But for years, these have been debates within the ANC. And to be honest, I've come to the point, and it's a painful point, that actually our salvation and our right standing doesn't lie with the ANC or with politicians. It lies in crafting a different kind of society where civil society has a far greater role. And of course, that's going to take a lot of work and a lot of thinking about how you change how we elect people, how you change our political parties, and how we change to become even more active citizens than we have been.
I spoke to Herman Mashaba earlier this week, and he's of the view, having been an ANC supporter for much of his life, that the country cannot afford to give the ANC another chance. It's time that we start advocating that citizens move beyond the ANC. Your thoughts on that line of argument?
Well, I'm not a big fan of Herman Mashaba, for example. My mom lives in Mayfair, and that was a DA-run ward that was subject under his mayorship in Johannesburg to exactly the same kinds of patterns of corruption and patronage. And so I think our answer doesn't lie with a big man or the next big political leader who speaks to us in ways that we think is going to build a better society. I do think it means thinking through the kind of South Africa we want and how we're going to get there using perhaps formations that brought us to freedom. And I'm talking about how did the UDF work? How did people's community organizations work? How have all the charities, many Muslim ones, worked to really do the grassroots battle against COVID-19 and for good education? And for me, in there lies the firmament of a good society, rather than through yet another politician making big promises.
Finally then, Fariel, the announcements made yesterday by the finance minister in terms of how tenders will be given when it comes to PPEs, do you think that's a step in the right direction?
Absolutely. So I think that Minister Tito Mboweni realized that part of the problem, the reason that the COVIDpreneurs were having such a feast, was that they had dropped the eagle eye that they usually hold over procurement, because they wanted to make it quick and easy to get the stuff into hospitals and clinics as it was needed. So now what he's saying is they're going to tighten up how procurement happens, and I think that's quite vital.
Fariel Hafety, shukran so much for your time. We really do appreciate it.
Assalamu alaikum. It was lovely to chat to you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was Associate Editor at Daily Maverick, Fariel Hafety. She wrote a piece, The 25 Mega Scandals Since the ANC Took Office. It's only in one, the Jackie Salibi one, where you could say there was substantive justice.